Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 44, The Well-Kept Secret. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room in the sensory garden over here. Last podcast, I interviewed Kelly Island about home education, and she shared some lovely stories that I know will just make you smile. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog, where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is the second part of Kelly's interview. Now, you know a little bit about home education and you want to find out more, and if it's really right for you, Kelly shares some resources today to help you decide, as well as the tricky question of mother and toddler groups. And what's that well-kept secret? After the interview, we get listener comment, the weekly find, and a promo from another podcast. Did you catch the one in last week's show? You have to listen all the way to the end. That's all in today's show. I'll be right back after this break.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch, go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
After moving a lot myself, I've always found that I've been finding more home educating mums or homeschooling mums when I was in the U.S. And I'm part of the military as well, and there's quite a lot of them, especially in my local area, that also homeschool for similar reasons or do home education because they, you know, we move about a lot. So to keep that continuity, and that they just want to do it. And they always know so much about the local area, things to do, and they just seem to have more time. I think just in general now, I've just moved myself recently. And so, you know, I'm meeting new families and new mums and children. And, you know, at the school gate, everybody is just busy. You know, you've got your little groups of parents and people are rushing, dropping their kids off and rushing off. There just doesn't seem to be the time. And the mums that I have been talking to a lot more are the ones that I find at the library or when I go to, you know, the local festival, you know, like we had Bonfire Night recently, when you go out and those people you can stand around and chat to. And then as we're talking, I find out that they're home educating. It's just amazing.
Yeah, we are a real, I think we're kind of like a really good, well-kept secret. And yes. The lady that does the toddler group that I take my youngest to, she couldn't believe, when she asked what we did, she thought I'd maybe say we met occasionally with some other people. When I told her the wide range of things available, she was really shocked at what we do. But when I took my daughter out of school, someone who already had their children at home advised me to just keep local. She said, you'll have ideas of other places to go, but if you visit your local library, your local park rangers, and we obviously go to scrap store a lot. I put that on my blog all the time. But that's enough just to get you going, because a good librarian, I found, seems to know everything that's going on in the whole sort of area for the next 3 months, if not more. And if you're looking for something to do, just getting to know your librarian. They know everyone. So yeah. They're brilliant. They're really good people to know. And I have found that just by going to the library every week and getting to know them, they'll tell you what's going on. They'll tell you when there's a card making workshop for free at a local store, and she happened to see us looking. We took a card making book out the library, and she said, "Oh, did you know if you go along on Saturday, you can make a card for free, and it's, all the stuff's there." So we were there on Saturday making cards, but she knows everything. I think they must have some secret ring that they all belong to. But they do. It's she's fantastic. Our librarian, we know her by name. She's great. If we took a book that late, she'll slide it through, won't find us. So there's definite perks, I think. But, yeah, home ed mums, they seem to know what's going on, and it's overwhelming, really. I think you could easily, we could easily spend 7 days a week out doing stuff,
yeah,
than actually in the house at all.
And I think that's what's great about knowing people in the home education world and knowing different people to contact, because it is like a completely underground group of people. And it's only because you all are so busy doing. It's not that it's a secret that you're not sharing it with other people. It's just you're so busy having fun.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's funny. I can tell my friends who have children at school, they often will phone me and to find out what's going on, where there's a free event that weekend, because they know that we have all this stuff and all these, you know, events that we've got listed. So I will get a phone call saying, "Do you know where there's a craft fair this weekend? Or is there a ranger event? And have they got spaces?" And things like that, because we're so involved in our local community. But even my neighbours, I didn't know my neighbours when my children were at school because I wasn't at home enough. But now we know that when the man down the road who's disabled, when he goes shopping, we will quite often meet him and help him carry a shopping home. And we didn't know him before, but he also has the most fantastic garden. And he's been teaching the kids over the summer, although I haven't blogged about it, about vegetable growing and, you know, his sort of trade secrets of raising sweet peas and stuff. And that's just community based. You know, we wouldn't find that anywhere on any notice board. It's just because we've been home, we've been able to get to know him. So there's definite bonuses to it. There's drawbacks as well, but that's one of the biggest bonuses, I think, is you can really become a huge part of your local community.
Is there much crossover then between mother and toddler groups and home education? Because I know a lot of parents that have children that they put in school like to go to mother and toddler groups. Do you find, I've not seen it, that's why I'm curious, but I haven't been everywhere, obviously. Do you see that there is much crossover? Do you go, for example, or would you go to mother and toddler groups?
I do go to a toddler group at the moment with my, he's two. And I started going because I felt it would be nice for him to have something for him, because, you know, his brothers and his sister go off and do lots of activities, and he's great. He gets carted about all over the place, and most of the time doesn't complain. So I thought this will be for him, and he absolutely loves it. It's really funny because although when I started, they kept saying, "Oh, will he be clingy because he's used to being with you?" And I thought, well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. He actually is quite happy. Although I stay with him, the first time he told me to go home because he thought he was going to be left there, and he's quite happy to be left. So he is very independent. And I have found what makes me sad is the toddler group is fantastic. It's very play-based and it's loads of fun. And I wish that could continue through when they start school. I wish it didn't have to become so serious. And the toddler group I'm in, there's about a dozen regular mums who go with their children. And I'd say every single one, once they found out that we home educate, has asked me about it. And I'd say that it's not mainstream, but I think it's becoming more popular. And a few of the mums have said to me that they can't, especially the ones who already, they have maybe two children, but they're not quite at school age, either of them, that they can't see them sending them to school. And they didn't know there was another option. They didn't know that this was even a legal option.
Right.
So now, I mean, I don't want to be responsible for a mini revolution where I live. That would be, I think, the local education authority might come breathing down my neck if that happened. But no, they didn't know they could even do it, and so they are interested, and I think there is a play. They're sad to lose the play. That's quite true, really. They're sad to think that, you know, I mean, this is a fantastic toddler group we go to. They have really good crafts for the kids. You know, they have messy play, and they have all the kind of the small world tables, and they did lacing the other day. They had really good lacing cards, and the kids just love it. And it's that, you know, it's time, it's the best thing in the world for them, because it's time with their parents, and it's doing stuff with their parents. You know, it's just fun. There's no, you know, no one's going off to do the washing up. And I think that's the biggest bonus of it, is it's they get this 2-hour slot of time. And we do a story, and we do some singing, and sometimes if we're feeling brave, there's musical instruments that they get out, and they all play along. But no, it's lovely. And I think I do know of another toddler group where there's a couple of home educators that go with their children, but I feel that there aren't enough home educators taking their children to toddler groups, because I think that if we were more in there, it might become more well known.
Yes, because it's an alternative, isn't it? And it's a viable alternative, and I guess people just don't know, like you said, enough about home education until they've met a real life person that's actually doing it, so they can actually ask the questions and find out the answers.
Yeah, most people, their biggest thing is they don't think they're qualified enough, because they haven't been to college, and they haven't, you know, university, and they haven't been trained to be a teacher. And my biggest sort of, well, my most honest answer is that I'm not qualified as a teacher, and I wouldn't ever, my mum is a teacher, and it's interesting because what she goes through on a daily basis, I couldn't go through, because it's 30 children in a classroom, and there's an awful lot of sort of management issues as well, which sounds really callous, and I don't mean it like that, but you know, I'm lucky, I've just got 4 children that I need to manage, but she's got to make sure she's keeping 30 children happy. And I think that's the thing with school, is you've got bigger, you know, the adult to child ratio is huge.
Yeah.
And although I'm not qualified as a teacher, I know my children best, and I know what they're quite happy to tell me what they need. And if they're struggling with something, I can go and find the help they need. Whereas a teacher can't do that with one pupil, if she's got another 29 in the class. And I think that's where people get confused. They think you have to have had this university education, or you must be a qualified teacher in order to teach, which I don't necessarily think is true.
Right.
I think you can teach your own children. I mean, I've had some fantastic teachers for my kids, and they've been great.
So if you're thinking, if we're thinking about home education, it's something that, you know, people have been listening to this interview and are now curious. They want to know a little bit more. Where would you suggest that they go online to learn more about?
There is a really good blog ring, actually, called the Early Years Home Ed Blog Ring. And if you Google it, I can give it to you, I will find it for you. But if you Google that, Early Years HE Blog Ring, you will come up. And it is literally, I think it's about 6 pages of home ed blogs. And it's focusing mainly on the early years. There is an older blog ring, but because my children are all considered early years, I'm only on that one. I only know that one. But when I took my daughter out of school, I read every single blog on there, basically, because I wanted to get people's opinions on it. I wanted to know. I knew it was legal. I had the black and white, this is what you can do, you can educate as you see fit. But I didn't really know what that meant. And I wasn't sure what it meant in a real life setting. So I just read all these blogs. And I found some people who were local to me on the blogs, and I got in touch with them. And I think home educators are quite open and free with what they do, and they really do want to let people know what they're doing. And I found that the blog ring is really welcoming, actually. They're a really nice bunch of people, and they rally round as well. And it's weird, you know, we meet people. There's a home ed festival called HESFest every year, and we went last year for the first time. And it was amazing, because actually all these people who do these blogs all came there, and I actually met some of them for real in their real life. And it was really incredible. But I would recommend online. That's the best place to start. There is Education Otherwise, which is a charity for home educators. I think that's right. I think it is still a charity. But that's more for the legal side. But for real life experience, I don't think you can beat the blog room, really.
Yes, because I bet you get to see what people are doing, and nothing beats that. When you know that you're going to be educating your own children, to be actually see what others have done, to know where you can go from there.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the blog ring has got all styles as well. There's very structured people, and a lot of them in their sidebar have the curriculums they're following, so you can click on them and you can see what they're actually doing on a day-to-day basis almost. And then there's the autonomous people who are very much child-led, who do basically the whole education of the child is focused on what the child wants and needs as they decide. And there's everything in between. And they're really quite varied, to be honest. And I did feel quite intimidated because some of them, their children are amazing. And they seem fantastic. And I thought, well, my children don't actually behave that well sometimes. and I saw these blogs and, you know, I'd go back to the archives and think, hang on, there's not one bad day in 3 years. How can anyone have 3 years of perfect? Because I don't even manage 3 days of perfect. And then I realized that actually, if the more you go into it, there's some incredibly honest people out there as well, which made me feel better, because there's nothing worse than when you're having a bad day to think the world is having a great things. It's always good to know there's other people who are struggling as well. So
yes, it seems to be a thing that we have, that if people are doing well all the time, we want to pull them down at some point, because we know that they can't be perfect. We're looking for that one moment. But when we show that things happen in your house the same as they happen in my house, then we feel a lot better about, like, about things.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. I mean, I find that's one of the best things about getting to know other home educators, is you realise, although as a group we want to tell people it's great and fantastic, because, you know, it is a bit off the mainstream, so you do get some people who think that, you know, what about socialising your children? And you do defend, I defend home education a lot to people who don't know much about it. But at the same time, amongst yourselves, I think you'd like people to be honest and say, oh, it's not been great today, or my children have behaved badly or something. And it's good to have that kind of common bond and that honest approach as well. I think that that's really important, because especially when you're starting up, the last thing you want to do is to have loads and loads of blogs that look completely beyond what you could achieve.
Yes. I found you online and I love reading your blog. So tell us a bit about your work online and where we can find you.
Well, my blog was actually set up to start with because my in-laws all live in Scotland and my mother-in-law wanted to sort of see what the kids were doing. So I was trying to find a name of a blog. It was really just a private blog just for us, and then I ended up joining other things and we did some kids swaps for mail things and got involved with other stuff, and now it's become a bit more, not super well known, but I have people reading it now, whereas I didn't start it up with that. But my blog is, do you want my site? It's
yes,
we are here kellyi-blogspot.com, and that's where I am.
Perfect. Today I've been talking to Kelly Ireland, home educating mum of four, blogger. Kelly says about her family, I'm reading from her website, we are playing, thinking, arguing, dancing, singing, sulking, visiting, drawing, mess making, and quite a few other things. Go visit her blog at wearehere-kelly.blogspot.com. Details of all the things that we've talked about are in the show notes at www.raisingplayfultots.com. I'll be right back after this short break.
I'm Maya Bissonnier. I'm founder of Meme Tales. That's MEMETALES.com. We're your home for children's stories, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back. I was talking to Kelly Ireland of We Are Here-Kelly.blogspot.com. Hope you enjoyed hearing about home education. Well, so did Kristen of 60secondparent.com, who left a message on our Facebook wall saying, just found your podcast on Stitcher. Such great insights on home education. I'm deliberating whether to home educate my four-year-old or put him into school this fall. Your podcast gave me some great insights. Thanks. Well, thank you, Kristen, for your comment. I hope the links in this week's show can help you. And any tips from you listeners for Kristen? You can find her comment on the Raising Playful Tots Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ Raising Playful Tots, where you can leave your messages for her too. Kristen also mentioned Stitcher, which is another way to listen to the show. Instead of using an iPod or a computer, you listen right from your smartphone. Now, smartphones that you can use are things like an Android or an iPhone. So for more information about how to use Stitcher or to learn how to subscribe to podcasts using iTunes, visit the show notes for this show. Okay, now it's time for the weekly find. This is the part of the show where I highlight a play activity or resource that I have found interesting this week. Well, I heard a comment from a popular early morning news program called Radio 4 just as I was dashing into school. Typically, I only got to hear part of it and I missed part of the discussion, but what I heard really was interesting. Here's a summary of what was said. New scientific research reveals that students learn better when learning is made harder, specifically when using a font that is more challenging to read. Neuroscience blogger Jonah Lehrer discusses his own gut feeling that we remember ugly fonts much more easily. Firstly, I'm sorry if I butchered his name. And I wanted to tell you a story. A few years ago, when my oldest was learning to read, he would be interested in my shopping list, which was great. And he wanted to help, you know, go find the products on the shelf. And that's great again. But he had a terrible time reading my handwriting because, well, I joined up and I wrote the list for me. So there were abbreviations and scratchings out, and it really wasn't my best writing because I really wasn't really writing for somebody else to read. Then if I knew he was coming along, then I wrote it a little bit clearer so that he could read it. Eventually he got used to my writing and he started talking about my G's and said, why do they look like fish? I hadn't really noticed, but you know, they do look a little bit like fish. I don't know why I do it that way, but I do. And so, you know, as all kindergartners do at the time, they want to try and be more grown up. So he wrote his own version of joined up writing since he was learning how to write, so he could just be like mummy and daddy. And he also soon got used to my handwriting. Now, kids remember the wackiest of things. And even now, he'll tell me about some of the funny things that I wrote on my shopping list. But what about that lovely worksheet of spelling patterns that he's supposed to be learning? Not so much. Can you imagine a time when Arial, Courier, Times New Roman, Verdana is pushed to the side and script and other curly fonts are used in school and books to aid our memory? Making the brain work harder to interpret the letters and words commits it to memory. Really? With us writing less and typing and reading fonts more, this is something perhaps we should be investigating further. What do you think? Do you think they've got it wrong? Have your say. If you have a comment about that last article or about the show, or you want to send in an idea, share an article that you've found that was really interesting, or a play idea, you can contact me via email. That's Melitza@raisingplayfultots.com, and Melitza is spelt M-E-L-I-T-S-A. We have voicemail for the US and the UK, new for the UK this week. The UK number is 0203-286-7109, and the US number is 512-827-0505, extension 3998. It's a recorded message, so you can leave your comment and not worry that you'll get a real live person that you have to have a conversation with. It may get played on the show, so let me know if you don't want that to happen. For links mentioned on this show, please visit raisingplayfultots.com and look at show number 44. Okay, it's time to wrap up this show. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 44, for the week of the 16th of January, 2011. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Meredith, and I'm a new mom with an overthinking problem. What's an overthinking problem, you ask? Well, did you ever wonder what causes colic? What a post-baby marriage looks like? What's up with modern-day wet nursing? Who invented Thanksgiving? Hint, a mom had something to do with it. How to get your body back after having a baby? What the first mothering manuals look like? Who's the boss in most marriages? I have. So in my stay-at-home mom free time, I created a podcast that answers these questions and many more. Come join me on my overthinking motherhood journey over at overthinkingmom.com. Overthinking Mom is also a blog, a pod blog or blog pod or blogcast or I'm overthinking it. Just go to overthinkingmom.com to see what I mean.